There it was. Glory hole.
It's Texans Training Camp. Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studio. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Big news of the day. Jeremy Pena is back. He is
a
back.
Panty dropper.
That's right. Jeremy Pena, and he was an MVP candidate. He was second to only Aaron Judge when it came to war in the big leagues when he got injured. He has been out, I would say, Clint, a lot longer than maybe I thought he initially was going to be out. But he is back in the lineup from that broken rib, and he is good to go, and he, I would presume, will be in the leadoff spot. And that lineup will be interesting to see what that looks like with now some of the added guys in from the Correas. And I do, the lineup is out. You ready for this sucker?
Wow. The question is, are you ready? I'm going to guess not.
Jeremy Pena.
Oh, wow, Tyler. Tyler, you hear this?
Altuve.
Yeah, screw you, man.
He's just casually going through.
That's cool, Ron. Screw you, bro.
Altuve is the DH.
Nah, you
tonight.
Know what you're doing right now. This is whack, bro.
Missed who opportunity. Huge missed opportunity.
Who you think's in the three spot?
This ain't cool, man.
Mr. She Knows.
No.
Oh, ouch.
Jesus Sanchez is batting third. Really wanted that left-handed bat there.
Get that lefty in there now.
They had to get that lefty in there to break it up a little bit.
I should have known it was going to be made way too difficult.
Yep. And then Correa is batting fourth, so he's in the cleanup spot with Diaz catching tonight behind him. Walker behind Diaz. Diaz has been getting hot, so they've dropped Christian Walker in the lineup. And old Taylor Trammell, he's still in that sucker. And, wow, this is interesting. Cam Smith is batting eighth in the lineup tonight with Dubon batting ninth. So that is the lineup tonight. Dubon is playing second base tonight, batting ninth. So it is, again, Pena leading off back in it. Altuve is the DH. Sanchez, the newly acquired outfielder from the Miami Marlins. And Correa, Diaz, Walker, Trammell, Cam Smith, and Mauricio Dubon. That is the lineup for Hunter Brown tonight as they are in Fenway to face the Red Sox. Interesting group.
Yeah, get that lefty in there, man.
Get that lefty in there.
I'm anxious, not as anxious, obviously, to see him as I am Carlos Correa, but you know, another left-handed bat that brings some pop to the lineup, brings a little power to the lineup. So we'll see how he swings it, sitting right there between Altuve and Correa. We'll see.
Yeah. By the way, I see some people wondering, and I'll clear that up. Trammell is playing in center field, and Jesus Sanchez is playing in left field tonight. So yeah, that is, the outfield is Sanchez in left, Trammell in center, Cam Smith is in right field. So that is the outfield and the spots they're playing in. Someone wondered if Sanchez was playing in center. No, he is not. So that is the lineup tonight as we see Correa in the cleanup spot and Pena back in the leadoff spot right there for the Astros tonight. So it'll be fun watching the fellas come back. Too bad it's going to be a bit of a long road trip before Carlos Correa gets to come back and play at the Daikin for the first time.
I'll be there.
I know you will. I know you're going to get your ass on about that.
I'm considering it, Tyler.
That's good.
I'm considering it.
I'll take that.
Go ahead. Get out there. Get you some pennants.
What is that, a Tuesday night? Monday, Tuesday?
I know it's the middle of the week. I believe it's a Tuesday. But I'll take that.
Those are doable, man.
As hard as it is to get you two dingoes out of the house, I'll take it.
Hey man, you're competing with three ladies. That's tough to do.
Hey, now that's tough when it was one. Seriously, that's fair right there.
It was
that's
tough
fair.
When it was one. You had a chance then. Three?
Yeah, that's very fair.
I feel better. You left early the last time we went. All right.
That's one way to phrase it. For you,
it is.
Go ahead and go into your tease here, buddy.
It was early. It was early.
Not really early because it went longer than games do. Yeah. Hey, tease, bud. Here we go.
You left before it ended. And we're all disappointed. All right. Nick Cayley spoke.
Ron.
He spoke about
freaking lame ass.
He spoke. Not to mention you wasted those brisket nachos, but Nick Cayley, he spoke about C.J. Stroud and what it looked like today. And it feels like it's looked like this a lot today. A lot of bodies around him. What he kind of had to go through with the parts around him. Here's Nick Cayley talking about his quarterback.
I mean, I think it's everything. I think it's timing. I think it's, you know, being a little, you know, anchoring a little bit more at times in the protection piece of it. Being able to play more on time, you know, got to do a better job myself, maybe getting some more quick options there early on too. I think it's collectively, it's everything. It's not just one person. It's never just one person or one facet. Just think we got to continue to all evolve and get better, you know, collectively.
All right, so that is Nick Cayley talking about what he's seen from CJ, and I think a lot of that has happened since training camp started. And listen, Clint, we're not on In the Loop, which you should listen to every day, 10 to 2, with Reggie, OG, and Figgy. But, Clint, I have a confession, and I have been hiding this, and I have been trying to keep this down, but I have a confession. I'm extremely concerned about the offensive line. Like there you go. I'm in about a panic mode for the offensive line.
Really?
And yeah, I am. Listen, and I can understand how you may feel, or you may text in and say it is too early. I'm not going to say that you're wrong for that. Okay, I can understand how you get there. All right, I hope they honestly get it turned around, because as I've said before, I want to see the full greatness of what CJ Stroud can bring, because there is nothing more in sports that I love than seeing greatness. But I am absolutely concerned, Clint, because I thought there's going to be some growing pains. It might start slow. And now I've actually gotten to see it, Clinton. It has not made me feel any better about it. It's, in fact, made me feel worse about it. And when I just say it out loud, to me, they just went, I think, a very hopeful direction from the jump in how they approached fixing their biggest problem on the team last year. And the way it's showing up right now, to me, is not giving me any confidence that this thing is going to be fixed, or fixed the way they want it to be. And I just think, Clint, there's a potential that they have wasted the cheap years of CJ Stroud by not going and getting him the protection that he potentially will need, so we can see everything this offense can be. Because I'll be honest with you, Clint, maybe I'm higher on these guys. I really like the skill group. I like Nico. I like Christian Kirk. Obviously, if those guys stay healthy, I like Higgins. I like Noel. I think there's a lot of things they bring to the table. We've talked about Brevin Jordan and his speed and what he looks. I like what they bring, but I think this offense is going to be beholden to what the hell the offensive line can do. And I am just not confident right now at all. And it is not just it's early for me personally. It may be just early for you, and that is a opinion that I will respect, but it is I am a full level 10 concerned about what this offensive line, because I watched it last year and I don't see a lot of improvements to it.
Boy, that's a quick trigger you got there.
Yeah, well,
it didn't take much, huh?
Well, I mean, but they didn't give me much to work with, in my opinion. Like, from the jump, they said what we're going to do is we're going to take our right tackle and slip him inside to right guard, a position he's never played. And we're going to take Cam Robinson, who has been a guy that Jacksonville traded and then Minnesota only got when their left tackle got hurt. And he had some issues protecting the passer last year. We're going to bring him in at left tackle. And he hasn't even, as you said, it took him a while to completely secure his spot. We're going to bring in a guy in Lakin Tomlinson. It's $4 million, not a year, but for the contract. And we're going to bring in David Andrews, a guy that New England didn't want, or a six-round pick in Jarrett Patterson to fill the center role. I didn't feel great about how they addressed it. And now what we've seen, that they're leaking water every single day, when it comes to protecting the passer, which was the problem. And I think they're going to, Clint, have to adjust to have everything quick, and we're not going to be able to see, I think, exactly what this skill group can bring. I am very concerned.
Ooh, that's interesting. Yeah, I'm not there. Now, I still think the jury is still out on the biggest part of all of this, which is Nick Caley. For me, what I've seen at practice, and I know if you just look at big picture and say the defense dominated once again, right? There's some fatigue there, and I understand the concern. But when I'm watching practice and I'm watching the pocket collapse, it has not been. Now, I may be wrong because I'm not being able to watch the film, but just from where I'm standing, and I'm not, I'm just going to tell you that I'm not much of a talker when I'm out there, or a thumber when I'm out there. I'm watching the action. So
remind me to come back to that at some point, because I didn't know that in the beginning, and I got a funny story. Go ahead, bro.
Well, I see guys getting beat, right? I see, tackles that are struggling with two of the top 6 to 8 edge rushers in the game. I don't see total chaos like what we watched, what we got used to last year. Now, we're also not seeing a bunch of pressure looks, Ron, so but I can just tell you that what I'm seeing is, I'm seeing a second round draft pick getting a lot of run at right tackle that from time to time is getting his ass whooped. That in a regular game, if the OC doesn't help him with some chips and some alignment stuff, that's on the OC.
And he's the one I really like.
Yeah. Well, Blake Fisher is getting whooped too. I mean, again, it's not like we're watching guards just constantly get ate up with the tackle in twist game and just have look like they have no idea what they're doing. You know what I mean? Like it's the typical football stuff. Like your pocket's collapsing because your tackles are getting ran. You gotta figure out a way to help those guys. You gotta figure out a way to get those guys to anchor down a little bit more. And I think they'll do that. Will it be great? Probably not. But will it be significantly better than last year? Yes.
Yeah, but will it be good enough for what they need? And I hope it's not an S show like it was last year. But as someone texted in, you wouldn't do crap against this defense either, Ron. That's just dumb.
I'd show up to try to watch you though. I'd show up to practice and watch you try.
I'm a radio host.
Give all the effort.
I'm glad. I hope you felt great after you hit the enter button on that one.
It probably went
solid move.
Yeah, but no. I listen again. If I see some people saying, Ron, I completely agree with you. Caserio didn't do much of anything to help this O line. They have said, Clint, and we knew it when we watched what they did. We're going to focus on, all right, man, we believe the coaching and we believe the scheme is going to be better. And that's what's going to fix it. And I understand, Clint, I promise you, I don't know if you've heard the type of questions I have tried to pose to you over the last week and week and a half. And I've listened to you and I've taken in like, all right, yep, they're not game planning for anything. Gotcha. All right, that makes a difference. All right, I'm also thinking to myself, yeah, but they ain't seeing no blitz looks either. They're not seeing any exotic blitzes either. They're just getting their asses kicked up front. And damn it, yes, they are facing Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. You know who else got good players on the defensive line? All of these other teams that they got to deal with. And I am sorry I said this the other day, Clint. There is nothing about what I watched them that makes me think they're going to then be a dominant run team, which would also offset and help them. There is nothing about it that makes me think these dudes are about to run folks over in the run game. Maybe Ursary. I am intrigued by his potential physicality in the run game. But this thing, they have waltzed out here, and Clint, I understand their install and everything. They have practiced, 8 days? They've gotten their asses kicked 7 of the 8 days. Like, completely kicked. And the one day that they didn't, you still said, I wouldn't say a whole lot. to that. Let's pump the brakes a little bit on there. And listen, I'm not trying to change you. I'm just confessing to you how I feel.
Yeah, I'm in a panic
about this offensive line.
I'm not mad at you for it. To me, it's never as bad as it seems, and it's never as good as it seems. It's always somewhere right in the middle.
Except for last year.
Well, in hindsight, it's always what it seems. It's always what it is. You know what I mean? But I don't know. I look at this, and again, I'm leaning into there were so many layers that failed. Let's say D'Amico Ryans. Like, there's so many layers on the offensive side of the football last year that failed D'Amico Ryans that contributed to poor football, inconsistent, poor, ultimately overall package, subpar and awful at times. So much went into that, right? You don't even have to fix them all with great play and great play calling and great scheme. It just needs to be better at a handful of those, and you're going to be significantly better. Like, I don't think this team is going to be a road grading physical run team either, but I do think that they can run the football effectively with Nick Chubb and hopefully Joe Mixon and you know, a Cade Stover that can get in there and put his, you know, put his hand in the dirt and do some things. An offensive line that's a little bit more cohesive and at least understands. A quarterback that is getting you out of the bad run and into a better run kind of deal, give you leverage. Like, those things happen, and you're complimentary at the very least. And so that is why I am a little bit more.
I'm going to try to run with you. I've been trying, man.
Hey.
They look like they are going to handcuff what Nick Caley and CJ Stroud can do. That looks like that's written all over it. Because even if, like, I'm with you, Clint. I get the feel that it won't be as bad as last year, because I do think that they are going to be quicker to moving off of what would hurt them. They'll be quicker to move. Hell, they may not even start with down the field stuff. But they're going to be handcuffed with what they could do. There's going to be a lot of, you know, three-step drops where you invite really good defenses, like we're seeing happen to them every day in camp, smother the hell out of them, and they're not able to make, you know, they're very predictable, like we complained about last year, and they're not able to make plays down the field because they just can't. They have to help their offensive line in a major way, and I would say this to you, Clint. If I'm at a level 10 of concern, where are you?
I'm at about a 6.
So you're above a 5.
I'm slightly above 50%, and more of that is geared towards Nick Caley and his inexperience than it is what I'm watching or the guy's inability to do one or the other, run game or pass protect. I hope like hell. I'm glad that aspect that you said of like, hey man, like we're gonna be forced to get the ball out quick, and yet, like I'm okay with that. I embrace that. That's exactly what this team needs to do. I mean, I'm okay. Like Nick Caley said it today in his presser, like, you know, today was rough, but maybe I didn't do a very good job of getting him some quick opportunities with the football. I love hearing that from the damn offensive coordinator. Love it.
I don't know, man. I've been sitting with this for a few days now, man. And I don't see it. Again, I hope I am dead wrong, because I honest to God, I want to see CJ Stroud have the ability to show the greatness that he has shown us before. I just think he's going to have handcuffs on him. I think he is going to have handcuffs on what he can do comparative to others. All right. As someone asked about this earlier, looking at what the Astros weren't able to accomplish at the deadline, but the Calvary may be coming. What's your feelings about the Astros pitching staff? Coming up next right here live on The Drive.
Don't mess with the Houston Astros.
It's Texans Training Camp, live from the Mokerum Injury Lawyers Studio. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's going to be cool, man. Sean's going to be in West Virginia. He'll stop by the Drive coming up next week. We'll hear from Sean. Shout out to the great people at Yingling. We'll hear from Sean. Go ahead and play it.
Thank you so much for stopping by and giving us that great info, Sean.
I just hate how much I've given you.
One I really wanted because it's been like months upon months upon months since I've had the opportunity to do that beauty.
But he, that'll be fun. He'll be our eyes and ears as the team heads to West Virginia for training camp. It'll be fun all next week. We'll hear from Sean. He'll have those up close shots, unlike anybody else will, covering this thing. All right, Clint and Tyler. I believe clearly the Astros became a better team yesterday. With all the additions they made, they became a better team. Even the guys they lost, even Ryan Gusto, who's the most prominent one, they lost out of that rotation. We'll see what that means moving forward here, especially for the near future. But I would throw out right now the rotation is Framber, Hunter Brown, who gets the ball tonight, Vixie, old Gordo, Colton Gordon, and then I guess Jason Alexander right now. That would be the four now that Gusto's out. We'll see what the next move is. But obviously, fellas, they do have Christian Javier, who is pitching in Sugar Land. His last outing was a couple days ago where he went 3 2/3 innings with 3 strikeouts. He threw 64 pitches. And gave up 3 runs, but he was over 95 miles an hour on the fastball. And then also Spencer Arrighetti, who went a little longer, and Clint, maybe he is closer. As we know, his was just that weird broken finger. He goes 4 2/3, 6 hits, 6 runs, 4 walks, 5 Ks. He gave up 2 home runs on 79 pitches. So he's up to the 80 pitch mark, so maybe he's getting closer to at least get into the rotation. And then obviously the J.P. Francis, the Lance McCullers, who has that devastating blister, and then Brandon Walter, he's on the IL as well.
You ain't right for that.
He does, man. He's on the IL as well. So they do have some guys potentially that can come out. But, Clint, they clearly were working up to the last second to try to get Dylan Cease. And by the way, they were asking for Spencer Arrighetti, and amongst other things.
Yeah,
and
so, piss off.
So Dana told him to go to hell.
get the hell out of here.
He said, I keep it real. He said, Minnesota wouldn't pay $50 million. And you think I'm going to give up Spencer? But Dana moved off of that. So clearly, Dana felt like they wanted another pitcher and wanted Dylan Cease, but they didn't go ahead and pull the trigger because it was too rich. How are you feeling about this rotation right now?
Well, I mean, I think that's the risk here moving forward with the Astros, right? I think if everybody comes back healthy, and if everybody at this point, I mean, look, I'd like to say nails when you talk about Lance McCullers, when you talk about Spencer Arrighetti and Christian Javier. Really, those are the big three right there. You know, I'd like to say, hey, hell yeah, all three of those guys come back and be nails. But the reality of it is we need one of those guys to be who we have seen them be before and who we hope they would be this year. Like, just one of those guys come back and feel that third starter role, and then the other guys fill in throughout the next 50 games, and let's see what kind of complete rotation, what the bullpen looks like at that point in time. Yeah. But that's the risk right now is that third start. It's obviously, and they feel that way as well, because, I mean, hell, they were, I mean, Dana Brown was vocal about, hey, man, we'd like to go get a third starter in a rotation.
And they were at it all the way up until the 5 o'clock deadline.
Yeah, so, I mean, look, right now is you've got, I'm not worried about, or I don't dislike the position they're in. I mean, if you told me, all right, look here, we're not going to get a third starter, you know, at the deadline. And here's our scenario: is we're going to get a guy in Lance McCullers that we've seen do absolute work, and you know, we hope that he can get back to close to or to the point that he when he was playing pitching his best baseball. The other option is Christian Javier, who we thought highly enough to give a contract, pay him well, keep him around, and we've seen him be absolute nasty. And then Spencer Arrigetti, a young pitcher that we've yet to see the best of, and we don't know when we're going to see the best of him, but he's coming back, and he's coming back strong. Those are your three options. You've got three options. Not like you're sitting here with zero options at that third starter. You still have guys that are that could very easily be a, not a good, but a great third starter in a rotation. Now, do any of them accomplish it? We'll see. I would have liked to have something a little bit more for sure, but we sit in a spot where you got three guys, I think, that are competing their ass off for that third spot.
Yeah. I am. I'm not greatly concerned, right? Because I do think, Clint, if they really felt like they didn't have somebody in house that can fill the void that they need to fill, because you said they're throwing numbers, right, Clint? If they can just get like two of them, Javier Arrigetti, McCullers, Luis Garcia, Walter France, if they could just get two of them to kind of be in this and be able to give them quality innings down the stretch. That's something. And to your point of the third starter, I think they have enough time with these guys to get it, to get themselves into a space where they're ready to maybe take on a start in the postseason. It's just the risk of, all right, these guys are coming back from injuries that you may not know. I mean, Lance with the blisters and Arrigetti are probably the ones you feel the most confident about. I mean, even though I love Javier and I think he can be a one or a two starter, we've seen that in the postseason from him. You know, he's coming off Tommy John, man. We don't know, like, you don't know how much he's going to be able to give. He still haven't gotten to four innings yet. Like, he still hadn't gotten over 65 pitches yet. So that's just the only thing. But I trust Dana that he feels really confident that one or two of these guys with a five-game cushion over Seattle and Texas. That 4.5, I think, now that Seattle won yesterday. But that at least two of these guys will be able to give them what they need. At least two of them. Like you said, it's not like he's sitting there like crossing his fingers with Brandon Walter and that's it. No, he's got guys that have pitched and that have really, really good stuff when they're right.
Well, if you get one of them, and we're obviously talking about down the stretch here, and how they chew innings is I think going to be a big hurdle here. I mean, you got to get guys healthy and ready to pitch. And
yeah, they got four starters right now.
Yeah, I mean, that chewing innings right now through the rest of the season is I think probably more of a concern than whether they find a third starter or not, or they're confident in a third starter or not. But, I mean, look, if you get one of these guys to step up, I don't care who it is, you get one of these guys to step up and then the other two can in a playoff series can be a piggyback approach, you're in a really, really good spot. Now, we'll see if they can all three stay healthy. We'll see if they can all three come back and still have tread on the tire or take the next step or develop to the next step. We'll see if that's the case. But, you know, they're not in a terrible situation. I'll put it to you that way. They're not in a terrible situation. Now, a bigger part of that, which now is maybe not the time, but that damn Hunter Brown got to come on now.
Yeah, tonight's a big one for him. He hasn't gotten through five innings or past five innings in at least his last three or four starts. So this is a big one. Someone on the text line real quick said, Clint, why are you counting on Lance McCullers? He's washed.
I'm just giving you the options, man. I mean, you got those three guys. If you think Lance McCullers is washed, hey, you might be right. I mean, hell, he's just been on the IL with a damn blister, and he was awful before that.
Was
so, I mean,
devastating.
You may be right. I mean, look, Spencer Arrigetti may never be a quality starter in Major League Baseball. Christian Javier may never come back the same. There's a lot of you know, left to be, you know, story left to be told here. I'm not sitting here saying that one guy isn't washed or one guy isn't, you know, not a third starter in a rotation caliber. Or I don't know. I'm just, those are the three guys that we as Astro fans right now, whether you like Lance McCullers or not, your ass is banking on him.
Yeah, he's, and be honest with you, from a health concern, him and Spencer Arrigetti are the ones that, you know, probably you feel like there's not as much of a concern when you got the other guys all coming off Tommy John or shoulder issues.
Well, look, I'm fully aware. Lance is one injury away from retiring. Man, I mean, I'm aware of that.
That ain't the damn truth right there.
I'm aware of that. He's also one start away from striking out 12.
Dang.
Yeah. And throwing 90 in 3.5 innings.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, yeah. I mean, again, if that were the only, if we were left here holding the bag, and it's like, well, it's Lance or bust, then I'd be a little bit, I'd be a little more concerned. Yeah,
there's five guys.
Yeah, there. Absolutely. Guys.
All right, we got to talk about this situation that keeps getting crazier and crazier from your old boss. Clint, Jerry Jones has let this Micah Parsons situation get to a whole nother level to where one of the best young defensive players in football has now made the decision to go to social media and request a trade.
What's your point?
Well, stupidity. We'll look at the dumb Cowboys as we continue coming up next.
Drive's busting this day open.
Busting wide the hell open, ain't it?
And we're telling them to bring it back.
It's Texans Training Camp, live from the Mokerum Injury Lawyer Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Can't get my goodies.
Yeah, rest is getting them.
I didn't feel right.
Yeah.
Rewind.
Russ is getting them goodies now. Go ahead, Russ. Go ahead, Russ, man. Ain't take that away. That nice guy thing has really worked for you.
Go Big Blue.
There it is, baby. All right, welcome back into The Drive. If you missed it, the news out of Boston. Jeremy Pena, he is back with the big league club. He will be leading off and playing shortstop tonight. As well as Correa. He will be playing third base and batting fourth. As well, new in the lineup will be Jesus Sanchez, wearing number 4. He is batting third and playing in left field tonight. So this will be a first chance to get a chance to look at a lot of these guys. Coming up in a bit, fellas, I do want to share with you. I had one of those moments with my rental car situation I don't think the guy was gonna fight me, but there was a bit of a stare. So I'll let you know about that. It almost got real in the Target parking lot. Let me tell you that. But the news rolling around the NFL, Clint, and I for the life of me, there generally isn't anything that the Dallas Cowboys can do to surprise me, Clint, with Jerry and Steven and all of them. But they got me on this one.
I don't have time to have a bad time.
No, you ain't got a lot of time, I guess, Jerry, because this thing has gotten so bad, Clint, that it was first reports saying that this thing has gotten so bad between the two sides, they're not even having conversations, and that Micah Parsons may start to go to crazy measures to prove his point. And the measure he has done, Clint, he is going to social media and he's expressed that he wants to be traded. He wants to be traded from the Dallas Cowboys. The two sides remain far apart heading into the second week of training camp, and they just are not even negotiating currently. Clint, how in the hell have the Dallas Cowboys allowed it to get to this point?
Well, it seems to be a... you know, an ongoing theme here in Dallas. At some point, everybody's going to figure this thing out that Jerry clearly, I mean, you call Jerry a lot of things. Jerry's not a fool.
Weak ass cowboy.
I mean, there is a method to the madness, and I know it's extreme, and I've said it a million times since I've been on these airwaves. He is an absolute master at creating value and stealing advertising opportunities. And I know this is extreme, but I don't doubt 1 minute that he doesn't sit around that table with his crew, his family ultimately, and say, here we go again. We have been blessed with an opportunity to be the lead story for a month straight on every sports talk show on TV and radio. And there's some value in that. Now,
you think it's still that?
I don't think, that ticker.
I don't think that's all that's driving it. No. I don't think that's all that's driving it at all. I don't think that's all that was driving it with Dak. I don't think that was all that was driving it with CeeDee Lamb. I don't think that's all that drives it. I think he looks at the at certain positions that garner certain attention, and there is a piece of every decision Jerry makes that is, how can I increase the value of this organization? And I think that is how he justifies a lot of what he does. Absolutely. Do I think that's all it has? No. Don't tell me what I'm saying. Do I think it's smart? No, I don't think it's smart. But I think Jerry sits around and I think he justifies all this crap every year by the business side of it that is padding in pockets.
Yeah, and I've been with that with you on that because, like, it was Dak a couple of years ago. It was CeeDee Lamb. And I'm with you. This one has just – this one's gotten so far to a deal where, as you said, it's not all of it. This one feels like it's a lot more personal. Like, he's not even going – and I know Micah Parsons wants to be a Cowboy. Like for everything that comes with being a Cowboy, I know he wants to be a Cowboy, but like to go to this step and to have allowed it to gotten here, because Clint, even if they get something together, like I still think there are some feelings and some things here that aren't just going to die when the contract is done or if a new deal is done. Like this feels much more personal than I've ever seen with Jerry, as you've said, trying to keep that Dallas brand out there in front of everybody.
Look, I just think that's a byproduct that he uses to justify a lot of these actions. I agree with you that this seems personal. I think this is different than Dak. I think Dak handled it like a pro, and I think it ultimately ended up helping. I say a pro. Dak handled it, you know, behind closed doors. He wasn't coming out and saying, "Well, yeah, depending on what the organization does and how they bring in other talent, depends on whether I take a team friendly deal." And yeah, Jerry and I did have a conversation, but I didn't view it as negotiations. Jerry did, and he's spilling all the beans about what's going on. Like, I'm gonna tell you, there's no way Jerry's not taking all this personal. There's no way he's not. I think there is. I think with Jerry, it would not surprise me if Jerry traded him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You think there is a legit chance that could happen?
Yes.
Like, this is really.
Yes.
There it was. Glory hole.
Wow. See, and when we talked about the crosstalk, I thought this was just even more talk that this thing is eventually going to get done. Because you just don't trade guys generally like this when you've been open to say you wanted to keep him.
Yeah, I don't think you typically trade guys like this either. But I just don't. Yeah. You know, I think there's just a level of crazy there, and I think you can. You know, I do think Jerry looks at it and goes, do I set the market with another guy and or do I trade him? You know, when he's the hottest, and I go get multiple first round picks and. You know, we can not rebuild, but we can supplement the guys that we've already paid. I don't think it wouldn't shock me to see Jerry do it. I'll tell you that.
No. We'll see. Text line coming in. I don't think Micah goes anywhere. Jerry won't trade him. And they can tag him.
To be clear, I don't think he does
either. Yeah.
To be clear, I don't think he does either. But
yeah. You wouldn't be surprised. Like, you wouldn't be off your ass if it happened.
It wouldn't shock me one bit. If somebody offers him something he can't pass up, it wouldn't shock me one bit. I agree with you. I think it seems a lot more personal, and not just on Micah's side. I think that's Jerry, too.
Jerry, too, both sides.
Jerry ain't above being petty now.
No, he's not. Fellas, I slid in there and went to a Target to go get some snacks, get some things here while I'm working, keep them in the fridge. Came on out, man. I don't know if I thought I was in Missouri City or where I was, but I walked out, just walking, saw a black Camry, looked just like the one I drive every day. Walked up to that bad boy, went in there and just start trying to open it. Just trying to open that bad boy. Couldn't, I mean, I'm...
That's thievery, brother.
Three. I'm three attempts at trying to open this thing. I said, what the hell?
Ron out here trying to boost some rides.
And then I went to go unlock it, put my keys in the pocket, and then I pulled them keys out, and I said, oh, damn. I'm in a rental. I look up. My man right there with his cart. right there at the back of the trunk. I said, I'm sorry about that. I'm in a rental. This is the exact car I drive. I completely forgot. And like, it really wasn't a smile. He was like, oh, okay.
He thought you were playing real life Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, okay, I just caught your ass, son.
Like, he didn't believe me. But I mean, I was like, what the hell is going on here? Trying to open it. And then I said, I wasn't even close to the car. I mean, it was
So you weren't even able to walk. You weren't able to turn around and like get in the car next to you.
I had to pull myself together and like, whoa, hold on, this ain't even close. I said, hold on, let me find this Mitsubishi.
Lucky dude, we're laughing and rightfully so. Those situations, if you run into the wrong psychopath, that could have gone very differently.
No, you said off the air the other day.
Seriously, man, that's crazy.
You're lucky you weren't in Texas.
Yeah, man. Everybody got guns down here.
Everybody is carrying. It would have just had me at gunpoint.
That's right.
I'm like, whoa. Yeah. Text line coming in. Show they thought your black ass was trying to steal that car.
I like the black ass part was unnecessary.
Maybe. Well, I mean, they really had to express it, I guess. Maybe they did.
It doesn't change colors.
Yeah, no, and that was the thing that really jumped off. We both weren't on the same joking space. Oh shoot, my bad. This is a car I drive at home.
He had a very serious, stern look on that.
Yeah,
guy's
he
face.
Said okay. I said, damn, my fault, man. You know, I had to go. I went the opposite way. I said, let me not walk past him. Let me not disrespect my man. But yeah, it was about to go down in that Target parking lot, about to really roll down. What you got coming up, Clint?
Well, the coordinators, the offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator for the Houston Texans spoke, and I think they answered a couple of questions about what we're seeing at practice. That pressure that's been on C.J. Stroud, that defense dominating that offense. How about that depth in the secondary? There's a couple of things I think that were at least addressed today by Matt Burke and Nick Caley, the coordinators for your Houston Texans. We'll have that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Now, I'm not talking to these guys on this phone.